We want to sit down. We actually wanted to like stand and walk around a little bit since it is late in the day and it's like
Not only is it late in the day, it's late in the conference. We know that there is beer to be drunk. There is Bruce Sterling to go and listen to. So we're going to try and make this as fun as we can. So, 5 tips to make your lame podcast listenable. Let's face it. Your podcast is lame.
Anybody agree? Disagree?
As professionals, we are professionals. Yes, we are professionals. So we have to listen to millions and millions of podcasts. Most of them are very lame. But there's no reason that they have to be. And there's a lot of very, very small things that you can do to catapult your podcast into the leagues of professionalism. Now, we have 25 minutes here. We're going to have to try and sprint through these as quickly as possible. But we are going to be around for the rest of the day. And I'm around the whole week. So for the price of one malted grain beverage, I will talk to you as long as you like. So, 5 tips. Here we go. Oh, yeah. We couldn't keep it down to 5, so we have
one bonus tip.
A bonus tip.
How not to suck. So, hopefully that'll help a little bit.
We didn't introduce ourselves. I'm Steve Mack. I'm a digital media guy. I've been doing this for many, many years. I've got a book out on streaming media, a book out on webcasting, and my latest book on podcasting. You can't buy it here at South by Southwest. No, they're not selling it here.
And I'm Jose Castillo.
You can look at this one, and this is Jose.
And I'm Jose Castillo, and I'm riding his coattails, basically. In the past, have owned a commercial recording studio, and so I've been in the audio business for a long time, played music, and been around that scene. But I've also really latched on to this whole new media thing over the last couple of years and love the social stuff side, and especially the marketing side. So a lot of technical stuff, like he actually knows all that stuff. And then the marketing and kind of social side of it and building some of the content and plans for that stuff. So hopefully we'll have some great tips and make this fast and interactive. And if you're here for the free t-shirts, so everybody looks up like, what, free t-shirts? We're going to be kind of interacting with you as we go along. So if we ask questions during the thing, it will expect answers. So
you may be rewarded.
So tip number one.
Know your audience. How many people here have a podcast? How many people think that you have really nailed your target audience with your podcast?
Excellent. Hands. Who is your audience? What's your podcast about?
I do basic brewing radio and basic brewing video. I talk to home brewers around the world.
Awesome.
We're going to talk later.
Fantastic. Now, for the podcasters who weren't able to hear his question, because we are going to be podcasting this very, very episode, he's got a home brewing podcast. He talks directly to other home brewers and to brewers. That's a perfect example of a niche where you can just nail it.
What's the URL for your?
Basicbrewing.com.
Cool. Great. Oh, excellent. Now you're starting to plug. Okay. So know your audience. You probably don't have people that are teetotalers that listen to your podcast. You know, people that don't drink beer, for those of you not living in the 1920s. So let's look at Ask a Ninja. You know, pirates probably don't listen to Ask a Ninja. You know, Learn Spanish podcast. Latinos probably don't listen to that. They already know how to speak it. And TWIT is not for noobs, obviously. So the idea is that knowing your target audience, who's listening or who do you want to listen to you, make sure that you spend time on those tools to help you interact with them. And you can find out over time how they interact with you and give you tips on how to make your show better. I'm sure you have responses where you're like, man, I wish you'd quit talking about the wheat and start talking more about the barley. And so being able to have that two-way interaction, so you got comments, you got wikis, you got Twitter. Gosh, man, I'm Twittered out. I don't know about anybody else. But all these interactive tools that can help you with that interaction and not only capture that, but use them to help you make your show better. So ask for comments. You know, Zay Frank has got some great stuff on his as far as actually taking video and putting it in that users have sent in and said, send me video, send me audio, I'll put it in the podcast.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people who have, you know, they've signed up for these podcasting services. And, you know, a lot of them are very good, but a lot of them don't give you a blog. And basically, if you have a podcast and don't have a blog, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. Because the blog is what gives you the two-way interaction. That's when you can read the comments. Zay's got his forum because his comments got so overwhelming. He's like, I can't talk to you all, so why don't you talk amongst yourselves? So he can go in there and see what people are talking about. You've got the Don and Drew show where they've got a 1-800 number with a very, very nasty I can't say it on this microphone. But if you call them up, they will actually put you into their podcast. So the last like 3 to 5 minutes of every one of their podcasts is people who've left messages on their answering machine. And guess what? If people know they're going to be on a program, or when they're on the program, they tell all their friends, hey, go listen to the Don and Drew show. I'm on it. I'm on it. And guess what happens? People listen to the show and they go, oh, that's actually a pretty good show. And then they tell their friends. And I mean, come on, people. Web 2.0, it's used to death, but it is very effective at building and retaining an audience if you do it correctly.
That's right.
So, number two. Good equipment is just cool.
And it's fun, too. Gadgets, right? Everybody likes gadgets and toys and all that fun stuff.
I ran the media lab at Real Networks for many, many years. And people would come and just sit in my office because I had all the cool things with all the blinking lights. You know? And that is really, really cool. The great thing about it is we can do a lot of this for under 3 digits. Now, not everything we've got up here is going to be less than $99, but there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to produce broadcast quality audio. Video is going to cost you a little bit more. But some of the things we've got up here, let's talk about microphones. Microphone is going to be the single most important thing that gets the quality of your podcast up. There are dynamic mics and condenser mics. These are dynamic mics, ladies and gentlemen. The Shure SM58, the greatest rock and roll mic ever made. The nice thing about it, you can hammer nails with these suckers and they still work afterwards.
We know, we've tried.
Oh yes, I forgot mine at home, but mine has a big Hurricane dent in the little pop screen. Still works fine. We have, this is a more expensive mic, the Shure SM7, broadcast standard microphone. Wonderful sound on this.
And this is the AT Audio-Technica 3035. This is, again, the condenser mic, bigger capsule. This is obviously, you're seeing stuff like this in professional radios or, you know, radio shows or in the booth or in a recording studio even. So some of the differences between the dynamic and the condenser. Again, you can destroy the dynamic, but also it's great for when you want to get really close, talk like this, and you're out on the street and there's all this background noise and you want to be able to hear somebody, so get a dynamic mic. You'll be able to shove it into their face, and it's going to cut out a lot of that background stuff. And again, because it is providing a lower signal, it's only capturing what's close around this side. So if I talk like this, you're not going to be able to hear it very well. Whereas with a condenser mic, I can talk like that far away, and it'll hear it. It'll pick it up.
Now, there's always going to be a proximity effect. The big thing to bear in mind is that if you're going to be doing man-on-the-street type interviews or if you're going to be taking it out into a noisy environment, you have to have a dynamic kind of microphone because they're less sensitive to handling noise and they're less sensitive as you get further away from them. Condenser mics, like the AT there, are going to give you a better signal, but they're so sensitive that you can't pick that up when you're speaking into it. It has to be on a stand and a little springy mount. As you can see, he's got a little springy mount. And they pick up a lot of noise. So you just couldn't, like, for instance, if we were trying to do a podcast in this room and you guys were all talking, that mic would be a terrible choice because it would pick up everything in the room. Now, I actually have some examples here. If I can, let's see, flip to...
Those of you that have an audio podcast, while he's flipping to give you some examples audio-wise, what type of mics are you... Who's using dynamic mics for their audio podcasting? Anybody? Who's using condensers? Great. What kind of condenser do you have? So he's got a Marantz hard disk recorder? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little conference mic.
Oh, cool. Yeah, like a little boundary mic or something you put on the table. It's kind of flat looking.
Horrible for lectures.
Yes. Yeah, I would recommend not to use that for lectures. But that's great. Extra large? Good.
So let me see if these are actually going to work here. Go ahead and...
This is the built-in microphone on the MacBook Pro.
Let me turn up a little bit.
This is the built-in microphone on the MacBook Pro.
Sounds like crap.
We love our MacBook Pro. Lord knows I have a relationship with my lovely laptop. And if you're in a situation where you don't have any other microphones, you can use the microphone on this. It'll suffice. But it's just not going to sound professional. So then we can step up. There's also, just for those of you who know, in the MacBook Pro, there's a little setting on it that says, use ambient noise reduction. Don't. That stuff will destroy the sound of your podcast. What we've got here now is a little plug-in microphone that sits on top of the MicroTrack 2496.
And you can get those for your iPod. You can get those for MP3.
This is the little plug-in microphone that comes with the M-Audio MicroTrack. So all of a sudden, it doesn't quite sound like it's coming down a telephone line anymore. It sounds a little bit better. But because that sucker is sitting on a table, It's 2 to 3 feet away from me. It's going to pick up a lot of the noise that's ambient, and it's not going to give you that
FM radio sound.
And if I'm river dancing, it's going to pick up that too, which is fantastic.
Good thing. Another thing to bear in mind is that if you're going to be interviewing guests and stuff, the first thing is if somebody has not never held a microphone before and you give them one, the first thing they do is they don't know to hold the microphone in front of their mouth. It might seem like it's obvious, but a lot of people who are uncomfortable with it don't know how to do it. A better approach is to get a little lavalier mic and you pin it to their chest. That way they don't have to worry about it. They can use their hands, they can gesture, they can get excited, and they sound pretty good. So we've got a lavalier mic here.
And again, all these mics you can buy, one of them at various levels, for $99 or less. So
this is a small lavalier mic that's pinned to my breastbone.
It's nice because I don't have to worry about it, but again, the sound's not great because it's not directly in front of my mouth. So, ladies and gentlemen, the king here, the SM7.
Which is like the standard for radio shows around the world.
This is the Shure SM7, the broadcast standard for many, many years.
So that starts to sound like radio announcer. And if you speak to me in person, you'll find that I don't actually have a radio announcer voice. This mic is magic. It's a magic microphone. They list for like $1 million, but there's a place called Broadcast Supply, and they sell everything like half price, so you can actually get this for $399. Buy it. It's cool.
In a world where one man, okay, one mic.
So, what's next here?
Mic Pre. Oh, these are great. Honestly, if you have a laptop that you're using to do mobile recordings, or even if you're using a desktop PC and you're trying to use the standard sound card or any of those pieces that are built in standard, you're going to get a ton of noise. You're going to get all kinds of ugly stuff. So
the reason is,
highly recommend Mic Pre's.
The reason is that as powerful as laptops and, you know, even desktops are, they're just not really built for recording. There's too many electrons screaming around in there and developing too much noise. The signal that comes out of a microphone is extremely low level.
Yes.
Just a sec.
Mic Pre. Great.
Well,
we're going to do that
right now.
Oh, here it comes. Wait for it.
Pre-amplify. The reason is that for the physics, which again, for the price of one malted grain beverage, I will explain the physics to you ad nauseum.
What size shirt would you like, ma'am? Medium.
The signal coming out of a microphone is extremely low level, and it needs to be amplified many hundreds and hundreds of times to be actually usable. Now, the problem is if you do that amplification inside of a laptop where there's screaming electrons and hard drives and all kinds of stuff, you get a lot of noise. And the components used in the sound cards in these things cost about a quarter. Professional companies spend more money. Now, this is going to cost you $100, but this is going to get you broadcast quality sound. And conveniently, it fits in my bag. So when I'm going out and doing interviews, I bring this sucker, I bring a couple of microphones, and I can get broadcast quality anywhere, provided I have a nice, quiet location. And I used to think this was pretty cool until I saw the Focusrite. That's a little bit more than
$100. Nobody's impressed. I don't think it's... Yeah, good question. No, it's not, but that's a great question. They actually make tube preamps, which give a warmth and character quality, which basically means you pay about 10 times as much. But no, the Focusrite Mic Pre's are great. They're like Pro Tools uses them in a lot of their big consoles and everything. So the sound on these are really good. And not a bad price, $300-$400.
Question.
Focusrite, R-I-T-E. And you guys can come up afterwards and we can play with some of this stuff and talk more about it.
Question here.
Okay, a good question. Yeah, there's like little mixers that you can buy with mic pre's in them that you can plug in.
Well, that's not true anymore. Now you can they're actually building these these USBs FireWire outputs into mixing desks nowadays.
This little Mackie console over here, Mackie actually makes a little 8, 10, 12 channel version that's FireWire. You can plug right in your laptop. Yeah. Great, yeah. It's a sub $99 mic.
I've got one.
Yeah, he's got one. They're great. The USB, FireWire, and actually, I think that's, you know, no sound, color, noise, and then we're talking, too, about the FireWire and USB. Those are great standards for transferring audio. So, like, this one's FireWire, and I think yours is USB.
Mine's USB.
Yeah, it uses USB.
So there's two issues at play here. One is that if you're going to buy a microphone that has built-in USB or FireWire, so you can take these microphones and plug them straight into your laptop, but all the conversion from audio into digital bits happens in the body of the microphone, and then you're just sending the bits into the computer. The problem is that if you want to have two microphones, you need to plug them into, you have to have at least two USB inputs,
right,
and you don't get to mix between the two of them. If you're going to have multiple guests on a regular basis, I would highly recommend getting a mixing desk, which this guy here mentioned, where you can plug a decent quality microphone. Everybody gets their own channel. You can adjust the volume for all your different guests, and you get a much, much cleaner recording off of those.
Yep. All right, let's keep it moving. We got a lot of stuff. Stop the pop. Get a popper stopper. Does anybody know what that is?
This guy right here. Looks just like foam. It's actually acoustically transparent, but you've been hearing as I speak, when I say the letter P, there's a funk, and that has this big funk pattern inside. Now, you can edit those out, but it's a lot easier if you just use a popper stopper. Some microphones, like the SM7, come with them built in.
You can make one out of pantyhose and a coat hanger.
Yep.
Yeah, blue. That's the blue microphone. Yeah, they're
same exact theory.
Company.
Another thing you can do is if you've got somebody and they're sitting in a table and you have a microphone on a stand, instead of putting it directly below where the P sound happens, if you put the microphone up slightly and point it down at their mouth, the air goes this way and it doesn't pop the capsule. So if you go into radio stations, they always have the microphones coming from up above and they're like this, and that's why they don't pop on the radio. They also have pop screens as well.
That's worth the price of admission right there.
We could talk about equipment forever. We've got so many gadgets up here. We didn't even talk about his little MP3 recorder and my little MP3 recorder.
These are great.
They fit in your bag. But let's just assume we've convinced you to spend a couple hundred dollars on a good microphone and a mic pre or mixing desk, as it may be. So now what? Now you got to call somebody up. Now you actually have to get down and record this stuff. So most importantly, I know many people think the magic of podcasts is that they're so just off the cuff. Well, I don't know about you guys, but the ones that are just off the cuff, to me, are very, very boring. Because I'm like, come on, what's the point here? You need to be prepared. You really need to know what you're going to be talking about. Some of you may need to write an entire script. Zay Frank does not do perfectly laser-focused three-minute presentations without a script. He cannot come up with that stuff just off the cuff. Nobody's that good. At the very least, you're going to need bullet points, index cards, or something that you can work off of to make sure that you talk about all the stuff you want to talk about. This is very, very important. You don't have to be an expert.
But it helps. And if you're not an expert, fake it. Honestly, if you're in this, you're probably passionate about what you're talking about. Homebrew, great example. I mean, you know what it is that you're doing. You're passionate about it. That's why you're doing a podcast in the first place. So that alone makes you an expert. And I know a lot of people are like, whoa, 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 I'm not an expert in what to do. Well, everybody's an expert at something. And usually a lot of these podcasters are passionate about that, and they find themselves kind of falling into that because they want to be passionate, talk about it, and by default, you become an expert, whether you like it or not.
And, you know, if you're not an expert about somebody, you're going to be calling somebody up maybe who is, and you really want to get the most value out of them as possible. Who knows how many interviews they've done that day or that week. They may have been at South by Southwest all week. I mean, I'm trying to bank a bunch of podcast material here. You don't want to waste people's time. So you got to do your homework so that when you ask questions, they go, oh, you know what? I never thought of it that way. But actually, let's talk about that. You need to ask what are known as leading questions. And this brings up the...
Don't be Chris Farley.
Remember that time?
Saturday Night Live.
When you did that thing and... That was cool.
Yeah, and you know, he's interviewing Paul McCartney, and he's just, you know, falling all over himself and doesn't even ask a question.
You've all seen it at some panel during the course of the last 4 days. Somebody gets up to the microphone and spends 5 minutes, and there's not a question in there. And everybody starts getting uncomfortable, going like, why? They weren't prepared. They didn't do their homework, and there's no question in there. What you need to do is ask leading questions.
So and then get out of the way and shut up. And let the other person talk.
What do you think about? Tell me how you felt when you did this. What about that? Basically, what you're doing is you're taking a softball and you're lobbing it at them and you're going to let them knock it out of the park. These are the people who are supposed to have the knowledge. Just set them up and let them go. If you answer the questions for them, they're going to get frustrated and pissed off and they're going to go, this is lame.
We already talked about passion. You guys wouldn't be here if you weren't passionate. Edit. Hello. We all have editors. There's free ones out there. It comes with your, you know, your PC or laptop that you buy or Mac, whatever. Use them. They're there for a reason, to cut out all that crap that's in there of you saying this or popping the mic or bumping something or somebody says something that doesn't fit or you didn't get to answer a question or whatever it may be. Cut it out. Your audience will love you and thank you for it.
There are very few people who can just extemporaneously come out with a brilliant response that's just exactly what you wanted to hear. They might have to take a couple of attempts to answer that question. Well, just cut the first two attempts out. When they hear that podcast back and you ask a question and they come back with the most incredibly great answer, even if you have to snip out like the middle part, you can get really creative with audio editing because nobody can see the lip sync. You can make your guests seem like geniuses. And when they do, guess what? They're going to tell their friends, man, I did this really great interview, because they think that's exactly what they said. They don't realize that they stutter and and ah. When you cut that stuff out, you make them sound better. They're going to want to come back, and everybody else is going to want to be on your show, too.
You never mess up, Steve. Steve never messes up. He's amazing. Flo, how many of you like to hear good stories, see good storytelling? I mean, really, there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. Oh, my goodness, it's been around for forever. Use the power of what other people have been doing for years and years and years and years and tell a story. So start with, here's what I'm going to talk about. Middle, here's what I'm talking about. The end, here's what I told you, and here's what you can do with it.
Expository Writing 101. We learned it in fifth grade, folks. Guess what? It works with any form of storytelling. Keep it lean. Keep it mean. Even if you have a great podcast that maybe you had like a 45-minute podcast with somebody who just dropped science, cut it up. Cut it up into like 15-minute segments. People are still kind of, you know, some people say don't make it over 3 minutes. I don't think so. I think you can make it up to 15 minutes or so before people start going, ooh, my boss is going to notice. So, you know, it's just not only that. If you've got a 45-minute interview and you can cut it into three parts, man, you got 3 weeks worth of content. Man, you can kick back a little bit and think about who your next interview is going to be. Quick question or comment? Really?
Yeah. And that is a problem that you'll find. And what those are the really passionate, like your hardcore users that are like, dude, I want as much as I can get. But honestly, the feeling that if you always leave them wanting more, honestly, that is a very true statement. So even if you have a lot of people asking for that, if it doesn't fit kind of the broader base of your target audience, I would say no.
It's a good point, though. I mean, you know, if you've got the two-way interaction and you have a majority of your people saying you want more, you're in a great place. You know, because you then are. You can start, yeah. Because then if you ever decide you want to try and monetize this, that's not an English word, but if in common use, but nevertheless, if you decide you want to try and somehow make money off of it, you can tell your people, look, I'm not doing a 3-minute thing. I've got a 20-minute thing. I can say thanks to so-and-so brewing company 5 times during that.
Give them extras. I mean, the extras on a DVD are a great example of more content for hardcore fans. So give them a blooper reel. Give them an outtake reel. Give them a behind-the-scenes thing. Do a menu item. Make another little 3-minute piece that's just for them. Whatever. Give them something else.
Okay, last but not least, because we're already out of time.
Already? I mean,
the casting in podcasting, we didn't make that up. I mean, that's been around for over 100 years now. So there's no need to reinvent the wheel. We can study all the different forms of broadcasting that have been around. And guess what? Theme songs are cool.
Dun, 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 dun. Anybody?
Here's a story about a lovely lady. What?
Hawaii 5-0, perfect. What size shirt?
You all remember the theme song to your favorite show. If you've got a rockin' podcast, you've got a theme song, people are going to love it. So, wow.
Good throw.
Hey, well.
So... I would highly recommend you start and end with a theme song because it just kind of warms people up. They're like, oh, cool, yeah, I can't wait to hear this.
They're used to it. People are used to receiving content that way. Think of your favorite show, et cetera.
Problem is, though, is you can't just pick, you can't use Hawaii 5-0. There's this little thing called copyright, and we're saying that you need to respect it. There's a lot of great resources. You can go to PodSafe Music, where there's bands who've basically said, you can use my stuff. Go to your, you know, find somebody who's playing locally. Go to, you know, any one of 10 billion MySpace pages. I guarantee you, if you say, dude, I want to use your song as my podcast theme, I will announce it, say, theme song courtesy of so-and-so, check out their URL and put it on your blog. They will say yes.
Those of you staying for South by Southwest, there are thousands of bands playing here. Go find one that you like and say, hey, man, I really like this song. Can I use it as my theme song? And they're going to say yes.
Exactly.
Unless they're Jefferson Starship.
Furthermore, use an intro and outro. Again, you got to warm that audience up, and then you got to warm them back down again. For your intro, say who you are. Tell them what the podcast is about. This may be the first time they've ever listened to your podcast, so give the elevator speech right there. And then what you really need to do, it's a radio trick, pre-announce. If you listen to any radio station, they say, coming up, the new single from so-and-so.
But before that,
we're going to play these four other bands that you may never have heard of before. But guess what? It keeps you listening because you want to hear your favorite song that you know they're going to play eventually. So if you've got a bunch of different guests and you got your star, don't put them first.
Well, it also respects your audience. It respects your audience, too. I mean, if they don't want to listen to the whole thing, they go through 15 minutes and like, dude, that sucks. I'm never going to listen to that again. But if you tell them at the beginning, hey, here's what I'm going to talk about, and they go, yeah, I'm interested in that. I'll listen on. So respect you.
If you're talking about a particular step in the brewing process and somebody's like, you know, I already know that. I'm just going to skip this week because I'm too busy. Yep. Again, it's respectful of your audience. Finally, you need to wrap it up.
We need to wrap it up, really.
Yeah. Thank them for coming. After all, they've taken 15 minutes out of their extremely busy schedule, and they've taken time. And exactly. Thank them for coming. And if you know who's going to be on next week, you got to bait the hook. You got to say, hey, next week, I'm so psyched. I landed this interview with so-and-so, or it's going to be part two of this interview, part three, whatever. Let people know what they're going to be in for the next time. And again, it's just respectful of your audience, and it baits the hook.
Yeah, question. Okay.
One or two. Write about travel, amongst other things.
Travel writer?
Yeah. And drag racing, but I...
Sweet. That sounds like a good podcast, a good niche.
But I can't imagine when I would do this, but I'm curious. I think perhaps I could do, like, travel podcasts where I would walk around and...
Sure. Mobile.
So, I'm not familiar with any of this stuff.
Come up afterwards, and I'll give you some tips and tricks on how to get started. Yeah.
We definitely brought all the audio porn today just to give you a wide variety. But literally, I travel around with this.
I have t-shirts,
and I can do my
large or extra large. That's all I got. Okay.
And, you know, I was going to tell you about audio compression, but we're out of time here. We're getting the wrap.
Go find out. Just Google it. Find out what it means. Use tools to do that. Yeah.
Or buy me a beer.
Gigavox's level agent.
I do not like the levelator. I think it's a great idea. Yeah. They're basically taking audio compression and they're making it bog simple so that you just whack your podcast into there and it automatically is compression.
I think it's
a little too heavy,
Steve,
personally.
We're done.
True.
Yeah.
We're done, guys.
Come up and talk to us. Thank you all so much. Appreciate your time. We tried to cram in as much as we could. Y'all have a great afternoon.